Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sactown Sports.
Very nicely done, Simone. Not just the Masters update, but also the song coming in to the left, to the left. This is actually hilarious. So we love to pull back the curtain on this show. And there are two 916s here, okay? And the first, the one at the top, so they come in and then they push the other text down. Right. So the top text says, I know why Steven's call was accepted. It was to stroke Allen's ego. That's from Nick. He says, LOL.
Uh-oh.
That's from Nick.
Uh-oh.
Right under that is from the 916, to follow up, lefties are known to be extremely creative and artistic. That was my point to bringing up actors and actresses. From Steven. Outstanding.
Wow.
You know what?
Propaganda.
No. Steven is just letting the world know. All right?
Yes. Also, Steven, if your mom really loves movies and actors, she should be playing Movie Grid. Just look it up later. It's a little grid that you can fill out, and you have to guess where the two actors are from. So your mom's going
to
love it.
There you go. We're about to hear from Shaq, who I don't believe is left-handed, talk about Sabonis and really the plan of the Kings. But I did find this. Chris was trying to look things up, and we're not going to get too morbid here, but Chris noticed that lefties may die nine years sooner on average than right-handers. And he said, I don't understand. I said, Chris, it's from the stress of living in a right-handed world and a right-handed reality. So, Chris, this is from...
I did not find that funny.
This is from...
I got incredibly frustrated when you said that.
This is from leftyfrets.com, okay?
Okay, oh, totally sounds unbiased.
No, this is it. Okay.
Leftiesrulethworld.com.
And you go. Partial lefties, measured
lefties
website.
Make up 12% of the population, okay. Although this does vary depending on location.
Okay.
This is from 2021, by the way. As in, some countries being left-handed may still have a social stigma.
That's right.
Attached to it. It goes on to say, is left-handedness becoming more common? This is exactly what I asked. I don't know how I found this so quickly. Until recently, being left-handed was still discouraged in many developed countries. All right? They go on to say, we can see this when we look at the number of lefties in different age groups in North America. Only 6% of over 65-year-olds identified as being left-handed, whereas a whopping 15% of under 30s said the same. And then they have a graph, and in 1860, 2%, 1880, 2%, 1900, 2.5%.
I thought that data was irrelevant.
I know it is irrelevant.
So literally what you're saying is exactly what Simone said. Is that people who are above 60?
Yeah.
When now the calls are coming in.
Well, okay. Well, now, yeah. Because okay. Well, okay. Well, Simone was right because from 1980.
Cut that. Simone was right.
From 1980 to 2000, it's still at 12%.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the last since 2000.
So the big jump was from 1920 to 1940. Sorry, Simone, you were right. Keep it up with the Masters updates. There you go. Gonna get into Shaq.
The stress of being a lefty.
Yes, exactly.
The lefty stress.
Enjoy me while I'm here. Man. You know, it's the
Michael Vick. Enjoy him while he's here.
Michael Vick.
You know, James Harden, De'Aaron, Sabonis.
D'Lo.
Man. Oh, man.
Let's get to Jeremy, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Jeremy? What you got for us?
Hey, guys. I got a weird one for you. So, I am left-handed and right-handed. But
okay.
I'm ambidextrous.
You're not ambidextrous.
No. I write with my right hand. I'm a mechanic, so if I'm screwing in a bolt, I do that right handed. But I eat left handed, I throw left handed, I kick with my left foot. If I'm shooting a rifle, I shoot off my right side.
Mm-hmm.
I skateboard right handed, I guess you would call it.
Wow.
So I used to write left-handed when I was in grade school, but my father said I looked stupid, so he taught me how to write right-handed.
Wow!
And now I can't. Now I can't even write left-handed anymore.
Man.
See, thanks for the call, Jeremy. Yeah. See, normally if you don't write, so technically he was a natural lefty writer, But because of, right. you know, some of the stuff that Simone may or may not have brought up earlier in the show, he was discouraged from writing left-handed. Because normally yeah. I wouldn't allow, like we talked about, if you mm-hmm. don't write, then I wouldn't count you yeah. as a lefty. But it sounds like deep down he was actually a lefty.
I have one of my best friends, shout out Angel, he writes right-handed, but he's the opposite. He mm-hmm. does everything left-handed.
Do we let him in the club, lefties? Does he get in the club?
Yeah, that's on y'all.
What
you know?
Would Domas say right now?
What would Domas say?
He would say let them all in.
We get Domas on, and the first question. So Domas, as a lefty, you know what else? What else you got? All right, before we get to Shaq talking about the Kings and their path, let's get to Edward and put a bow on this lefty conversation. What's up, Edward? This has been one of my favorite segments, by the way. What's up, Edward? What you got for us?
Here's a question for you. What do Brooks Robinson and Tua, I can't pronounce his last name, the quarterback for the mm-hmm. Dolphins, have in common?
Probably lefties.
Well, I know Tua throws lefty, yeah.
There's more than that.
What is
it? Brooks Robinson grew up doing everything left-handed. He signs autographs left-handed. He did till he died. But he played baseball, batting, and throwing right-handed. Mm-hmm. Tua grew up doing everything right-handed, but he played quarterback left-handed.
Huh.
So that's what those two have in common.
I did not know that. Thanks for the call, Edward.
Isn't that Barry Bonds, too? Didn't Barry Bonds' dad tell him to hit left-handed?
Well, that's a thing for
right,
sure.
Right.
That's a thing
advantageous.
For sure.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
You gotta bat left-handed.
But
it's
Griffey
such a,
didn't.
Griffey's lefty.
Is he really?
Yeah,
okay.
Griffey's a lefty.
Okay.
Wow, they're everywhere.
Sweetest
they're
swing
everywhere.
In the game. Sweetest. And there's more. There's
Sammy
more arriving.
There was somebody
Sammy's righty.
Sammy's righty.
Mark McGuire's righty. Yeah. Trout's righty.
We're just living in a more inclusive world where you can be left-handed if you want to be.
Yep.
And
what a weird thing
that.
For people to decide to hate. I mean, I guess, you know, that's,
well, you know,
look at history and
yeah,
people find
yeah.
weird things
right.
to discriminate
There's
people.
Been, yeah, less
Categorize,
weird things.
Let's divide
yeah.
us all.
You know, and the erasable pens when I was
that's
in school, now
yeah,
I'm aging myself
all
and it's all
hand.
On my hand. All right, enough with this lefty talk, but thank you for humoring me, all the calls, texts. Sack Chat, we're outstanding. And you know, you can keep it going on the text line. Maybe I'll read some
yeah.
more of it. It's a feel good
it's fine.
Friday.
It's
Let's
fine.
Hear from Shaq, who really sounded like a lot of Kings fans. And when we talk about that linear growth, Shaq is questioning what's next for the Kings.
Very explosive on his left hand, real herky-jerky with the basketball and get to any spot he wants to right there. Great spin move and puts it up. But again, the Sacramento Kings have been very inconsistent. Last year when they took the Golden State to seven games, we thought, uh-oh, there's a new team in California that can emerge to, you know, be championship contenders. But I don't know what's going on in Sacramento. They're right now in the play-in situation. But this kid right here, when he plays well, fun to watch.
Yes, indeed.
And it was pretty recently that Shaq, what was it, the Brotherhood or the Circle of Big
That's
Men?
That's right, whatever it was, the Allegiance.
The Allegiance of Big Men, he puts Sabonis in. And really what he said, and obviously Shaq is the first person that'll tell you, I don't sit there and watch. That's what I appreciate about the TNT. At least they don't act like they watch, most of them, I guess Shaq and Barkley, they don't act like they watch a ton versus some of these other national guys that pretend like they know what they're talking about. And in reality,
they probably should watch.
Well, I mean,
it's kind of their job.
Well, not going to watch every single Kings game.
Yeah.
But
no,
I'm just saying,
not.
from a big picture perspective, yeah. you were the 3 seed, and now you're fighting to stay out of the 9
right.
seed. And what is the plan for the Kings? And Chris, not to do the summer thing, and the season's not over, but you got leapfrogged, right? You got leapfrogged,
probably.
And there is a text, and they say, "Hey, this is barbershop talk," and they bring up trading somebody that we're not going to do until the summer. But depending on how this thing ends, it could be a squirrely summer, Chris. It
sure.
could be a squirrely summer.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the Kings definitely can do their version of the Gobert trade this offseason. I mean, they're going to do something big. Like, I'm not really concerned about the mm-hmm. talk of the future of this team, because I just think that this team is going to look completely different next year. I think that there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be shuffled in and out. I think the first domino to fall is absolutely the Malik Monk factor of all of this, but I just have a hard time believing that the Kings are going to look anything similar to how they are now. I think the message has definitely been sent, not even necessarily from any of the people in power, but just by watching the games. Again, Vivek is sitting courtside every single game. Monty McNair, I know, is watching and has definitely heard all of the criticism and has heard Mike Brown directly pre-All-Star game talking about how this team needs more. They need just an influx of talent. I think that there's going to be massive, massive moves that happen this offseason. And, you know, I think that this is all a part of the process. As terrible as it is, like, you know, I do think that you have to kind of realize when you're hitting your ceiling to know, okay, we need to do something to potentially break through that ceiling. And I think that's really what the story of this season is going to be, is that ultimately it wasn't fun to go through, but you had to go through a version of this at some point. Like you said, Celtics are still hitting their heads on that ceiling every single year. You have to go through that in order to understand we don't have enough. And so if this is unfortunately what it takes for all parties involved to understand this is not enough to win, then that's just kind of is what it is. And I would just expect, you know, yeah, if we're sitting here next September and there hasn't been major moves, absolutely, it's going to be there's going to be hell to pay for sure. It's going to be a very loud offseason regardless. But if nothing's done, I'm going to be right behind everybody who's got their pitchforks and ready to be upset.
Coming up next, we turn the page to the Phoenix Suns and a game that the Kings absolutely have to have. I feel like we say that every single game because it's true. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. From rooting for the Pelicans to lose to now rooting for the Pelicans to win and beat the Warriors tonight, because we have kissed goodbye and said goodbye to the sixth seed Pelicans at Warriors tonight, Chris, in a huge game. Kings have a huge game of their own. Suns at Kings. At this point, are those the only two that matter? Lakers at Grizzlies tonight,
yeah.
But
I mean, yeah, I mean, ideally, if the Kings take care of business the rest of the way, nothing else really matters. I think they still might actually need another Phoenix loss, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, for the most part, I mean, those are really the only matchups that matter, is the Golden State one, and then obviously the Kings game tonight. I think, you know, the Lakers, that will matter if the Kings lose, because then the Kings could get leapfrogged and be in that 10 seed potentially, or the 9 seed, depending on what happens with the Warriors. But yeah, for all intents and purposes, you shouldn't have to worry about that. I wouldn't think.
But yeah,
we'll see how it goes. And I don't know who the Lakers play. Actually, funny enough, the Pelicans end their season with the Lakers as well.
Right.
So that's going to be an interesting one, because that's Brandon Ingram supposed to return, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and Laker fans are having some fun with that. They feel like players always come back against them, just so tough to be a Lakers fan.
All that, I really threw you to the ground like that, JJ.
By the way, we'll be joined by Gerald Bourget, lead Suns writer for Phoenix Sports, also a co-host for Phoenix, the Suns Sports blog and digital media platform. That's at 12:30, and we will ask Gerald some questions about the Suns. And really, Chris, just looking at the Suns, I guess they should worry you on paper, but then they get out there, and you talk about the Kings having offensively, they have an identity that can be a bit stale, right? When running the DHO and the flow offense, it can get a little bit stale. The Suns don't seem to have an identity. It's just whatever they're feeling that day. By the way, prop talk, this was about maybe a third of the way through the season. Avoid the Suns at all costs, because you just have absolutely no clue who's going off that night. Is anybody going to show up? Who's going to play? It's a complete mess in a weird way, because aren't they championship or bust? Because KD is 35.
If you look at their financials, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're paying, I think they're the second highest payroll in the NBA right now, only behind Golden State. yeah, I mean, this is not in the plans for Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Like, and they don't. The problem is with Phoenix too; they don't have any way of getting better. Like, they can trade off the guys they have. Maybe, you know, they cash in on Grayson Allen's good season and turn that into maybe multiple role players. But they really are very much locked in who they are. And, you know, it's a pretty decent core. It's a scary team on paper. But I think ultimately you start to lose people when I'm looking at their bench here. And it's just they have Eric Gordon. And if Eric Gordon's not supplying something off the bench, and, of course, Grayson Allen, too, if he is coming off the bench now, that Beal's healthy, that's really it. I mean, they're playing bowl minutes. Josh Okogie's played some minutes. Nazir Little's played. Like, they just don't run very deep. So if you can have Devin Booker or Grayson Allen or any of those guys, one or two of them, go cold, they really just don't really stand a chance. They kind of need all of their guys that they need to play well mm-hmm. in order to win. We talk about the Kings not having a second option to go to. Phoenix really doesn't. I mean, I guess you could say their options are their players, but I mean, ultimately, if KD doesn't have it going, they're not going to win. If Devin Booker doesn't have it going, they're not going to win. If Beal doesn't have it going, you better hope Grayson Allen has it going or else you're not going to win.
Yeah, and you would feel like having three of those guys on a nightly basis should be nice. I mean, if you looked at the Kings and you put one of those guys on the Kings, I feel like the Kings would be a favorite to win it all.
To win it all. Not Brad Beal. Brad Beal's not living up to what he was supposed to be.
I was never really that high on Bradley Beal.
I was not either, and nobody wants the contract he's on. I think he's making like $45 million a year or something insane like that. He's one of the highest paid players in the NBA, and he's 100% the third fiddle in that trio. So, you know, and he's really the biggest reason why they're so cap locked. You can't really do much better, and Bradley Beal is age 30 at this point, and he's averaging 18 points a game, which is his lowest total in a really, really long time. So I think Beal just doesn't really live up to that big, like, is it really a big three?
Bradley Beal, to me, as we talk about Sabonis and scoring wise, hey, the way he scores, this isn't the 90s anymore. It's definitely not the 80s. Right. Does it feel like Bradley Beal is kind of in that? Is he's kind of DeMar DeRozan-esque,
yes,
right? He can't handle the basketball, really, not as a point guard. He doesn't create, right? I mean, everybody always needs to score, but as far as a big three, I don't know if he gets hot, but every now and then, and I really hate that I'm saying this now that the Kings are playing the Suns tonight, but on a night-in, night-out basis, he's undersized a bit as well. He doesn't really defend. What exactly
is it?
He's
never healthy either.
And he's never healthy.
He hasn't played over 50 games since 2020. If you want to put it over 60 games, he hasn't done that since 2018-19. And he's scoring the least amount of points that he's scored since – I'm sorry, this is the least amount of points he has scored since his age 22 season in 2015-16.
Yeah.
So those are not good numbers for somebody who has, I think, like 3 years and like $150 million left on his contract or something like that. I mean, it's a tough situation. And, you know, I guess it doesn't really matter. And actually, I'm looking at it here. It's even worse. Bradley Beal signed a 5-year, $250 million extension in 2022. They're only in year two of that extension. So it's next year he's making
three more years.
Next year he's making 50. The season after that, he's making 53. And then, breaking news, Bradley Beal has just opted into his player option in 2026-27 for $57 million.
That's insane.
And he's their third option. And, I mean, it's not even particularly close. He's just in a different tier of those other two guys, which is fine. But it's tough when, you know, we've seen the Heatles, we've seen Golden State even struggle to build around your big core. You got to get lucky and have guys like David West want to play for a champion. You have to get guys that are on value deals. You can argue that's a guy like Eric Gordon, but Eric Gordon's also a little bit long in the tooth, and it's just they don't have enough weapons. In my mind, they don't have enough guys to legitimately scare anybody.
Yeah. Well, we will see what Gerald Bourget has to say, lead Suns writer for Phoenix Sports. And we will continue that conversation. The one thing I do want to also bring up, Chris, is defensively, again, in theory, it should be tough, right? Keegan on
who guards KD or who KD? Guards Book?
Keegan cannot guard
Devin
Booker.
He cannot guard Devin Booker. I mean, that would
That's
ideally
Keon. Be
Keon, right? Yeah, I mean, I guess you give him a steady diet. If I had to guess, honestly, it's going to be HB. HB's always the one that they just throw on Giannis, on LeBron, yeah. on Paul George, on guys like KD, because I think they think Keegan's not going to do much better, so why waste his energy on that end would be my guess on the thought process. Yeah, I mean, my guess would be HB on KD, and something tells me that story doesn't end well for our guy Harrison.
I was really surprised that we didn't see any Kessler Edwards on Zion last night.
Yeah.
Just for a look.
I don't know if he's strong enough. I think because that was the thing with last year is like they wanted to play Kessler more. Actually, Kessler Edwards is the guy who, like, it was kind of a revelation. He really gave Devin Booker problems. But last year, that was kind of the thing with Kessler the second half is figuring out what is his defensive range. And we kind of quickly found out it's really 1-2s and threes, and once you start to step into the fours, it just he doesn't have the strength, and just isn't really a high enough level defender to like make plays against those guys. So I think that's probably why you didn't see him on Zion specifically.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess hindsight is 20/20 or 50/50 or whatever. But you know, they shot about 50% from the sure floor, did. And maybe higher than that from three. We will return with Gerald Bourget of Phoenix Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports. We are joined by Gerald Bourget of Phoenix Sports, co-host and lead Suns writer. Gerald, thank you for joining us on a Friday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Let's get right into it. Huge game tonight for your Suns and our Kings trying to Well, the Kings are already done. They have to be in the play, and the Suns are trying to keep hope alive and either get that sixth seed or get the seven. But who would have thought that the Suns would be in this situation? If it started out that way, I don't know if it still is now, but based on your financials, would you consider this season championship or bust?
I mean, I think you're still pretty much there just because of the expectations for this group coming into the season. I think a lot of people have given up on that and are very much leaning towards this season's going to be a bust. But, you know, you kind of knew coming into the year that the big three that you had, if they struggled with injuries, your roster was a little top heavy. You were going to struggle. And I think the big three has only played something like 37, 38 games together this season. So they're not even going to get to you know, half of the season that they played together. And that makes it tough when you're a top heavy roster. So I think if you look at the fact that the Suns record wise would be competing for the 2 seed, 3 seed, if they were in the East, makes you feel a little bit better, but I don't think a lot of people have much faith that this group is going to suddenly flip the switch and go on a playoff run. So definitely championship or bust expectations, but realistically, don't think they're going to get near the former on that regard.
Yeah, Gerald, I was just looking it up, and it looks like Book, KD, and Beal have now played, I think, 16 straight together, and they've gone 10-6 in that stretch. You know, like you said, they've played just under 35 or games or something like that just this season. In this little stretch here, has there been, like, glimpses of what you guys were expecting, or has it still just kind of not been there because it's taken so long for them to consistently get on the court together?
No, you're right. There have definitely been those glimpses of like, oh, okay, this is the unfair product that we were promised.
Right.
You know, it's been like, you look at just their last handful of games, they had a good win over the Denver Nuggets despite missing Yusuf Nurkic in that game. They had three straight wins over playoff caliber opponents, the Pelicans, the Cavs, the Timberwolves, and all of them were in very convincing fashion. But it's the inconsistency that is hard to put a lot of stock in this team. You look at the fact that they lost to the Spurs without Wemby a few weeks back, right. The fact that they lost to the Thunder without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander by 25 in that game. The fact that they were down 35-4 against the Clippers the other night and then followed that up with a very uninspired win over the Clippers D squad, basically. Like, it's hard to know which Suns team you're going to get on a nightly basis, because they're either on one end of the spectrum or the other in terms of, wow, they look like a world beating championship caliber team, or man, they really just lost to that team. Like, they have so many, they've lost three times to the Spurs this season. They've lost to the Hawks. They've lost to, all of these different teams they lost to the Grizzlies once this year. It's just little things like that that are hurting them in the standings now, and kind of speak to, it feels like a lack of accountability. It feels like a lack of cohesion. And obviously missing games is going to affect that, especially when they're so choppy. Like, it'd be one thing if they played 35 straight games together, but when it's, okay, all three of us are available, now one of us is out, now right. Two of us are out, now one is out. Like, it's so choppy and hard to build chemistry that way.
Talking to Gerald Bourguet, lead Suns writer for Phoenix Sports. Gerald, I'm just sitting here thinking about what the team is missing and whether it's actually on the court or maybe just as a mentality. We have a lot of conversations about the next face of the NBA. And Devin Booker, you drop 70 points, and you do see flashes. He's been to a finals, and we know KD and what he's done when he was with the Warriors. I'm wondering now, is this a matter of a bunch of Robins and no Batman? Who is the leader on that team?
It's a great question, because on the court, you have, I would argue, who you have two Batmans. You have Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. Like, Booker's season has been so hard for me to evaluate, because you look at the numbers, and he's technically top 10 in the league in both scoring and assists, which I think Luka and Nikola Jokic are the only other two guys in that category. So he's had a very good year, but it feels lacking in terms of, like, it feels like he's taken steps backward defensively. He was a underrated defender the last couple of years, and this year it felt like he took a step back in that regard in terms of his effort and focus. It feels like the leadership is not where it needs to be. And Kevin Durant, like, he is a phenomenal on-court player. If you look just at the numbers, he's having an MVP-caliber season. But he continues to kind of shy away from the mentor-leader role that I think a lot of guys who admire him so much would love to see him claim. He's always been a lead by example guy, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when your two best players are both lead by example guys, and Booker is trying to take on more vocal leadership, but not really used to that role, and Kevin Durant, who could be used to that role, isn't taking it, it kind of can leave the locker room feeling strange. Like, I don't know how else to describe it, but it does feel like, for Book, this is like the best title window he's going to have for the foreseeable future. And for KD, it kind of does feel like he's content with what he's accomplished in his career to this point. Like, there's no easy way to say that. And I could be totally wrong on that, but just the way that you can feel the demeanor in the locker room after games, you can feel it in their responses. Like, he loves playing basketball, but for him, the joy is not, winning MVPs or winning titles. It's just playing basketball. Wow. I don't know how else to describe it than that. I think he's content with his legacy, and at this point you need him to be a little bit more motivated than he's shown.
Wow, yeah, that's really, really interesting. I'm curious too. I mean, I saw the other night, I think it was in that first loss to the Clippers, Book was 1 of 11 from the field, and I think Grayson Allen was 0 of 8 from 3. And I'm more just asking because it's something we've seen here in Sacramento this season. Would you say, and also you were really speaking to home there earlier when you were talking about, you guys have three losses to the Spurs, because that's definitely been a conversation here in Sacramento, where we have losses to Detroit, to Charlotte, to the Trailblazers, blown 20-point leads left and right. So I think it's very interesting that both of these two teams find themselves in the position that they're at. It's probably because they've blown so many of those opportunities. But back to my question, is Phoenix, would you say that they fall into this group of, as simple as it sounds, if they're not hitting shots, they're probably not going to win that game?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think they are a team that we've seen too many times over the last few years. When they're not hitting shots, they let things snowball. They right. let it affect their defense.
Yep.
And they're not a great defensive team to begin with. I think they're close to the top 10. They are in the upper half of the league in defensive rating, so I think they're better than people realize, but they're not an elite defensive team. And when they're not making shots, they let that affect every other area of their game, and that's why we see some of these leads snowball the way that they do. And it's interesting that you say that about Sacramento as well, because they do feel like two very similar teams.
Yeah.
Just looking at their last couple of weeks of games that can, you know, compete with anybody on a nightly basis, or they could lose to anybody on a nightly
Yeah.
basis.
That is literally what we say out here as well. Gerald Bourget, thank you so much, Gerald, for the time. And I would say good luck, but the Kings need it too.
Absolutely. I think both teams need the good luck at this point.
Fair enough. Gerald, thank you so much. We will talk to you soon. That was Gerald Bourget, lead Suns writer for Phoenix Sports,
yeah,
also
awesome.
Phoenix co-host as well. When we return, breaking down the Suns and who needs to step up tonight. Also have some injury updates for you as well. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Thank you again to Gerald Bourget, who had some really interesting things to say, specifically about Kevin Durant. And if you missed that, you can check it out on YouTube and SacktownSports.com on the Sacktown Sports app. I mean, that's how it kind of seems, Chris. KD doesn't really like ring culture. He's very open about he just wants the ball, man. He just wants to hoop. And he kind of hoops like, not that like he doesn't care, but he hoops, you know, someone once said, it's hard to stay hungry when you're well-fed. And it depends on how hungry you want to be. You see Patrick Mahomes right after he wins back-to-back, he says, I want to do it again. You see Steph Curry, you know, I want to do it again. LeBron James and KD, I don't know if he's ever really been built like that. I mean, do you go to the Warriors if you are built like that? Probably not.
Probably not. No, and I mean, his reason for going to the Warriors was one philosophical one. It had nothing to do with, you know, the players that they had. It was just, you know, he said the style of basketball, the flow, like he would call it, I can't remember what he would call it, but he would just romanticize the hell out of the Golden State offense. And he was like, I just want to be a part of it from a mm-hmm. from a basketball perspective. It just feels like basketball nirvana, and I want to be a piece of it. It had nothing to do with winning rings or anything like that. Of course, that came with it. But, yeah, no, I mean, to me, that's a really – to me, it would lead to a really deep Kevin Durant conversation where I just – if you're not hungry, like, I don't know if I can, like, I would want to consider Kevin Durant one of the best 20 players, 25 maybe of all time, but, you know, you gotta want it. And I understand, you know, him and Kyrie are a little bit more go with the flow, a little more feng shui, a little more of, you know, oh, this legacy talk is overblown and all that stuff. You know, the real ones know that kind of talk. But, you know, that stuff matters. Like, you got to, like, you know, the hunger of Michael Jordan to win six championships is literally why he's so great. Like, that's the thing that people fantasize about. And the fact that KD just doesn't seem to have it, where every one of his peers seems to solely be driven by championships, I don't know what that says about him. I think it is very on brand for Kevin Durant. It's very Hooper of him, but at the same time, like, you play the game to win a championship. And so if that's not your aspiration, then I don't know how you can be considered with the best of the best. You can still be a great player, but if we're talking about the best NBA players of all time, you got to play the game, my guy.
Well, and that's also an owner's nightmare.
Right.
A star that is just, I don't really care if we win or lose, to be honest. I'm just trying to have a good time, and I'm rich, so it's all good. That is not what fans want to hear at all.
Yeah.
And he has not said that, but and you probably can't necessarily tell it on the court unless you watch every night like Gerald does for the Suns.
And we talk a lot about leadership, too.
Yeah.
What kind of leader is that? You know,
if well, that's it's not. The dude,
you know, exactly. And that's your point. That was your question, right? Is there two Robins in that clubhouse? Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, I think he's right. Like on the floor, yeah, they're both definite 1As, but being a leader and part of being the head of a championship team is more so off the floor, if anything, right? Like it's Steph talking to his guys after that game 6 in Golden State and saying, we're not going down like this. Yeah. Like, is KD having that conversation? No. If these guys go into the play-in, is he saying, guys, where we're supposed to win a championship, we ain't going down like that? I'm sure his play will show it, but I don't think he's going to actually address the team in that manner.
I think it's more about Devin Booker, because KD, hey, I'm in my mid-30s, man.
Sure. You can also argue that,
You've been on this team. You've been to a finals with this team. This is your show. That's and Devin true, Booker is too busy pulling up in his old school caddies and worried
Fire
about
fits,
his 8,000 different colorways for his new shoes.
The book ones,
that I've never heard people talk about a pair of shoes as much as they talk about these stupid book ones.
They're okay.
They're fine.
Yeah, they're fine.
They're very Devin Booker shoes.
Yes. They're very, right? Like, they're honestly kind of plain.
Yes.
Which
I'm
I guess
saying
is
very
to your
Devin
point.
Booker
yeah.
shoes.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is, you have two guys that are saying, here, you be a leader. No, you be a leader. And Bradley Beal saying, I'm just trying to get on the court. So
just pay me.
They just don't, they don't have that guy. And look, they could beat the Kings tonight. And they can beat the Kings again in the play-in. They're not doing anything. And that is why this whole super team thing rarely works out. It works out in specific spots. Mm-hmm. There are things that happen off of the court that you will always need to win that championship. And the Suns do not have it.
No.
Doesn't matter how. Because they got a pretty good year from Grayson Allen. I mean, they've had some
great
good years from guys they probably didn't expect to.
Yeah.
And it's just not enough because I'm not saying they're not dogs, but they're not leadership dogs at all.
Yeah, no, and now that I'm thinking about it, it's a pretty just random collection of guys to that point. Like, it's not really like it was put together with much thought. Like, their head coach is Frank Vogel, who's a defensive mind. And you have Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant, who's age 30. You're not going to be a defensive team, especially not when the rest of the team is going to be a bunch of scraps. Like, I don't understand how they're built. They still don't have a point guard. I guess Gerald, I think he's not saying it, but in a way, Devin Booker has been their point guard. He said Book is one of the only players who is top 10 in assists and points, but he's not a true point guard, and I think ultimately he is going to have the ball in his hands a lot, but they don't have anyone stirring the drink for him. Like, they have nobody whose just sole responsibility is to go out there and make sure everybody gets... They don't have a Mike Conley, honestly, is what they need. They just need a dude who's okay, can, you know... You can maybe argue Chris Paul. Like, I don't, you know, they shipped off Chris Paul.
I was
going to
say they go get
figure,
Trey Jones, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. That's a real kind of guy that they could definitely use. But I think the bigger point is this year, it's not it. Like, I think that, you know, Phoenix is definitely underperformed to expectation 100%. But I don't even know if... at full strength, they're the team that they're supposed to be. I know Gerald said, like, you've seen glimpses of it here in the past 16 games that they've played together, but ultimately, I don't know. Like, we're the Kings in the 8 seed right now, and we're talking about how, like, I still think there's a good chance that we can take down Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what those 2 seeds, what those 3, like, I don't know if they're really putting the fear in anybody.
No, I don't think they are. I think they were supposed to, and on paper they should. But when you see how this thing has come together or hasn't really come together, it's just not – it's not enough.
No, it's not enough at all. And it'll be interesting to see. If we had more time, I probably would have asked, you know, some version of where do you guys go from here? Because I really don't know. Like, they're playing Bol Bol tons of minutes. Again, they're playing Eric Gordon off the bench who I don't know if he signed a multi-year deal. I doubt it. I just don't know what's going to be the plan. I don't think there's an ejecto-cito. Like, I think that they're kind of stuck with this ridiculously high salary team for the foreseeable future. And I'm sure they'll fire Frank Vogel next season and bring somebody else in. But ultimately, I mean, if you're not having the internal push either, like if KD isn't putting pressure on ownership, which also it sounds like Matt Ishbia is an owner who is willing to go all in and do some crazy things. You know, I think if you're not getting the internal pressure, it's just never going to happen.
You talked about Bradley Beal's contract.
Yes.
This is Kevin Durant's. He will be a free agent after the 2025-2026 season.
Okay.
So in 2 years. Kevin Durant is making $46.4 million. Oof. Next season, he'll make $49.8 million. Oof. And the year after that, he will make $53.2 million as a 37-year-old.
Who's had a history of lower body injuries.
Yes, and then as a
30... And just playing a ridiculous amount of minutes.
As
right
a 38-year-old, he will be a free agent in 2026.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and it might just be curtains at that point for KD.
He might just retire. I mean, you talk about the ejectocito.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what the ejectocito is. It's trading Kevin Durant.
As crazy as it sounds, though.
And maybe finding someone
who is it... What are you trading KD for?
Ejectocito, cut!
I don't know.
I don't know who's taking on that contract.
I mean...
He's still Kevin Durant, 1,000%.
Is it crazy? I mean, Devin Booker's so young,
yeah.
Right? Is it crazy that he rights a wrong in the sunset of his career? You know where I'm going with this. Send him back to OKC, get some picks, and the Suns just kind of...
Interesting.
Start fresh. Not fresh, but, right. You know, Devin, this is your chance to be a leader.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. That definitely makes sense. They have the picks to do it. They definitely have the leeway to do it. They could give up 3 first round picks and be like Shohei and be like, I didn't even notice. Oh, yeah. Hey, we lost 3 first round picks. What?
Right. That's crazy.
Nobody told me. Those are just chilling under a couch or something.
Yeah.
I would guess. Yeah. That's not a bad shout at all. I think, funny enough, I think the Knicks are still at the top of that list. I know him and Rich Kleiman, his very close business associate, is a really huge Knicks fan and tried to push KD to go to the Knicks when he was a free agent and decided to go to Brooklyn. So who knows? Maybe you can work out like a Julius Randle and Mitchell Robinson and some picks or something for an older KD. You know, the Knicks, I think, definitely could use I don't know. I don't want to say more star power, but like the Knicks, even now, Jalen Brunson is their hero. Jalen Brunson's great. Obviously, he's having a fantastic season, but he doesn't really. I don't want to say he doesn't sell tickets, but he's not Kevin Durant.
He's starting to,
but I just feel like they. It's New York City.
You need another score anyway.
They want a big face.
Yeah, you need another score anyway. Yeah. It's less about Jalen Brunson and more about where we're at.
Yeah.
In the NBA right now. Continuing the conversation when we return, we also have some audio from Kevin Huerter that you won't want to miss as he breaks everything down as far as his injury and moving forward. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.